Translation, the 19th branch. Now they're speaking of the 19th branch here of Gadadhar Prabhu. Was Sri Hari Acharya, the 20th. Sadipuriya Gopal, the 21st, Krishnadas Brahmachari, and the 22nd, Pushpa Gopal. Purport. The Gaura Gonadesh Deepika verses 196 and 207 mentions that Hari Acharya was formerly the gopi named Kalakshi. Sadipuriya Gopal is celebrated as a preacher of the Hare Krishna movement in Vikrampur in East Bengal. It's nice, Prabhupada says, a preacher of the Hare Krishna movement. Well, sometimes some people objected amongst his god brothers to it being called this, although Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj thought it was great. In fact, he used to get a big kick out of saying it over and over again, Hare Krishna movement. Krishnadas Brahmachari was formerly among the group of Sakis known as the Ashtasakis. His name was Induleka. So, very exalted personalities. Always these ones that are mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami. He says that it's not in any way an exhaustive list when he mentions all the great personalities, but he says these are prominent, some of the prominent persons. Krishnadas Brahmachari lived in Vrindavan. There is a tomb in the Radha Damodar temple known as Krishnadas's tomb. Some say that this is the tomb of Krishnadas Brahmachari, and others, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In either case, we offer our respects because both of them were expert in distributing love of Godhead to the fallen souls of this age. The Shaka Nirnaya mentions that Pushpa Gopal was formerly known as Svarna Gramaka. I did a little research. I always try to do at least some research before I speak, just to make sure I don't say anything nonsense. I'll probably say something nonsense in the course of the lecture, but not intentionally. I couldn't find out much more about most of these personalities other than what's right here in this verse and purport. But since there is a mention of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is such a great personality and someone we're more familiar with having composed this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm going to focus on him today, since at least he's mentioned in the purport. And also, Prabhupada offers his respects to him in the purport also, saying that they were expert in distributing love of Godhead. So this is a very high qualification. Of course, we all are trying to take part in distributing Lord Chaitanya's message. But when you talk about distributing love of Godhead, that means that you're very elevated. It means you can't give something you don't have. But you can, of course, you can pass on the message. And that's important also. That's the beginning of love, that you take the trouble and you take the time and the energy and the sacrifice to try to distribute this wonderful philosophy and teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But these persons are actually distributing love of Godhead directly. So I'm going to start off with a little... there was a nice foreword that was written, I think, in one of the later editions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there was a couple of paragraphs from it that I really liked. The first one is this. They say, at a time when in the West man was directing his explorative spirit towards studying the structure of the physical universe and circumnavigating the world in search of new oceans and continents, Sri Krishna Chaitanya in the East was inaugurating and masterminding a revolution directed toward a scientific understanding of the highest knowledge of man's spiritual nature. So this little paragraph is a nice piece of writing, I thought, and also it mentions a really nice point. On the one hand, you see in the Western civilization, there was a tremendous search and outreach towards exploring new realms of the physical environment. So their direction was outward, expansive. But in the East, there was the exploration within, inward exploration, and science, actually. Although they were developing a different kind of science based on pratyaksha, or sense perception, in the West, in the East, they were developing a different kind of science based on inner perception of the self and of God. Scientific process that works for anyone who seriously applies it. So I thought that was a very nice point, that this was the difference between the two cultures. Then, what was this Chaitanya Charitamrita? So this is about, it's focused on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, and he composed this Chaitanya Charitamrita at a very advanced age. But the question is, since he was not exactly a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although, I mean, he didn't get a chance to associate much with him, but he was associated with his closest followers. There were two main sources for this book. One is what they call kadachas, or diaries, of Murari Gupta and Swarup Damodar Goswami. Murari Gupta was a physician. Does anyone know his identity other than being a physician and a member of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's circle? Yes, that he was actually an incarnation of Hanuman. He was a physician, and he recorded very extensive notes on the first 24 years of Lord Chaitanya's life. Then, Swarup Damodar Goswami was another of his most intimate associates, and the rest of those, he only stayed on the earth 48 years, so the other 24 years were his province. He recorded all the significant events. So, as you know, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is divided into three different portions, Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and the Antya Lila, the final period. So the early period, middle period, final period. And the first 12 chapters, they function more or less like a preface. And he establishes in that section that Lord Chaitanya is the manifestation of God for this age of Kali. So this portion, other than establishing the identity and of Lord Chaitanya, he also talks about, in the remaining portion of Adi Lila, he talks about how he was born, how he accepted the renounced order, childhood miracles, schooling, marriage, early philosophical confrontations, how he organized a widespread Sankirtan protest movement when the Sankirtan movement was interfered with, you could say, in Bengal, in Navadvip. Then in the Madhya Lila, it talks about how Lord Chaitanya traveled throughout India. They say, as a renounced mendicant, teacher, philosopher, spiritual preceptor, and mystic. So all of those apply. So he had debates. He met up with many of his, what would become his principal disciples. He converted many renowned philosophers, including people who were followers of Shankaracharya, the Buddhists, the Muslims. Many Muslims also were converted, which was a little controversial even then. And it also talks about his amazing activities at the Rath Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. And in the Antya Lila, you have the last 18 years of Lord Chaitanya's life, in which he was more or less not entirely in seclusion, but you could call it semi-seclusion. in which he relished the various trances of spiritual ecstasy with his, especially with Swarup Damodar Goswami and others. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote this book around the beginning of the 16th century, was a disciple, of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, some of you know that Raghunath Das Goswami spent a great deal of time with Lord Chaitanya, especially in Jagannath Puri, and was completely dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya passed away, he couldn't bear his separation. So he went to Vrindavan to see the other followers of Lord Chaitanya, but his intent was to commit suicide by jumping off Govardhan Hill. He didn't have any desire to live anymore. But he met up with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and they convinced him, no, don't do that. They said, just tell us about Lord Chaitanya. So he gave up his plan. As you know, Sanatana Goswami had a similar plan when he came to Jagannath Puri. He was going to throw himself under the wheels of the Jagannath cart because he felt he was in such a contaminated condition and he was simply a disturbance to Lord Chaitanya, but he was convinced to give up that plan. So here, Raghunath Das Goswami was convinced to give up his plan of committing suicide and simply tell about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's, especially the later portion of his life. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was also residing in Vrindavan at this time. So he spent many, many, many hours in talks with Raghunath Das Goswami and he was considered even at that time a great scholar and poet. There had been a number of books written about by Lord Chaitanya by this time. There was the Chaitanya Charita, that was written by Murari Gupta. Chaitanya Mangala, Lochan Das Thakur. Sometimes Lochan Das is described as the seventh Goswami. Sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur is described as the seventh Goswami. But the idea is, just like they talk about the fifth Beatle, so it's a little different, of course. But the idea is that they were on that level of devotion and absorption in Krishna consciousness. So, and then, of course, we have the work that was considered to be the most authoritative at that time was the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So that was not only considered the greatest authority, but Vrindavan Das was actually even described by Krishnadas Kaviraj as an incarnation of Vyasadeva. So Vrindavan Das is quite an extraordinary personality, and he was highly respected. But he did not talk extensively about the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, because he felt that he might not have time to finish it and that it would become too voluminous if he expanded on all of the details of Lord Chaitanya's life. So Kaviraj Goswami had an idea that maybe, well, it wasn't his idea, actually. But all these great devotees who were living at that time, Bhugarbha Goswami and so many other great associates, one of them, this Krishnadas Brahmachari that was mentioned in the purport, and many others, came to him and pleaded with him to write about these pastimes, these later pastimes of Lord, because he knew so many things about Lord Chaitanya, having heard extensively from Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So he said, please, you know, write about this. So at this time, he was quite elderly. I don't know specifically what his age was, but he talks about hardly being able to see, that his hands were trembling, and that he was afflicted by various kinds of disease and maladies. Still, he managed to complete this whole book before he passed away. So they were pleading with him to do it. So he had their blessings, but he still wasn't sure that he should do it. And Prabhupada talks extensively in the purports about how this is the mood of a great Vaishnava, that they don't just assume that they can write whatever they like when it comes to writing about the Supreme Lord. So he took their permission initially, then he went to the deity of Madan Mohan, which was his life and soul. He considered Madan Mohan to be his family deity, even though it wasn't exactly his family deity, but the family in the sense of the family of Rupa and Sanatan. Well, of course, Sanatan, as you know, established Madan Mohan, and Rupa Goswami, the Rasacharya. So he considered himself to be part of that family. So therefore, Madan Mohan, he considered to be his family. So he went to the Madan Mohan deity, and he prayed there for some sign that he should do this great work. And at that time, a garland fell from the deity, and it was awarded to him, and all the Vaishnavas were cheering him on. So he took up this work. And today, it's considered to be the foremost work on the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, we know that Prabhupada also, at the request of many followers and devotees, translated this Chaitanya Charitamrita for our edification. This is what he wrote. This is what Kaviraj Goswami wrote when he was very old, and it says, in failing health, he says, I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While writing, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. So I'm not quite at that age yet, but I understand what he's talking about here. I don't hear or see as well as I used to. I'm not doing too much trembling yet, but my remembering power is definitely fading. So you can sort of kind of get his mood, that he was struggling with the vicissitudes of old age, but he was so inspired that he was determined to do this. And it's a beautifully constructed book. I mean, if you just, especially I'm sure those of you who know Bengali, the verses are so beautifully composed. He was a great kavi, poet, and very heartfelt in his expression. Sometimes when you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he gets kind of fierce. He says, you know, he talks about kicking people in the head and who don't accept Nityananda, and, you know, he gets kind of heavy. Kaviraj Goswami is more, you could say, more, seems to be in a more lyrical, gentle sort of mood, perhaps the calming nature of old age. But still, they were both so inspired. So then I wanted to read something about Kaviraj Goswami from Prabhupada's writings. It's a nice section. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, some people say, well, you should speak more and stop just reading things and commenting. But I like to read these things because sometimes the way Prabhupada expresses things is so much superior to anything I could ever say that so I can read and then I'll comment a little too. But this is from Prabhupada's introduction to the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the combined form of Sri Radha and Krishna. He is the life of those devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami are the two principal followers of Srila Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar was the most, you could say, the most intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, sometimes there's an argument about who's the most prominent. But they were specifically his followers, Rupa and Sanatan. Who acted as the most confidential servitor of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Vishvambar in his early life. A direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami was Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, stands as a direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So if you notice in the prayers at the end of the Rupa Raghunatha, He always offers his respects at the end of every single chapter to Rupa and Raghunath. So the direct disciple of Srila Krishna, now this is also an interesting section. There was some debates about this some years back because this is a description of our disciplic succession. And yet, it mentions the links that are not necessarily Diksha links, but some of them are simply, most of them actually, are Siksha links. But that's the way Prabhupada presented it in his book. So he says, the direct disciple of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who accepted Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti as his servitor. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accepted Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who in turn accepted Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, the spiritual master of Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the divine master of our humble self. Since we belong to this chain of disciplic succession from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita will contain nothing newly manufactured by our tiny brains, but only remnants of food originally eaten by the Lord himself. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not belong to the mundane plane of the three qualitative modes. He belongs to the transcendental plane beyond the reach of the imperfect sense perception of a living being. This is such great writing because it's not that dense, but it's packed with perfect. You know, they say the economy of the expression. Well, there's an old proverb: brevity is the soul of wit. It means keep it short, buddy. Concise, anyway, concise. It doesn't necessarily have to be short, but it should be concise and it should be clear. No rambling allowed in these writings. Anyway, he says, even the most erudite mundane scholar cannot approach the transcendental plane unless he submits himself to transcendental sound with a receptive mood. For in that mood only can one realize the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What will be described herein, therefore, has nothing to do with the experimental thoughts created by the speculative habits of inert minds. So it's Prabhupada's, giving a little bit of a punchy delivery here. He says that it cannot be grasped by the experimental, they call them experimental thoughts, which I think it's another way of saying speculative. Created by the speculative habits of inert minds, means minds that are not very, what do they say in the computer circles? They talk about things being not flexible, what's the word? Agile. By minds that are not agile. So the subject matter of this book is not a mental conception, or concoction, excuse me, is not a mental concoction, but a factual spiritual experience. So he says, so this book is not a book exactly, it's a spiritual experience. If you're hearing in that way that it's described here, if you're hearing with submission, with earnestness, with a strong desire to understand, or at least to hear, it says it's a factual spiritual experience. It's not a theory. It's not a speculation. It's not it's no maybes about it. It's a spiritual experience that one can realize only by accepting the line of disciplic succession described above. Any deviation from that line will bewilder the reader's understanding of the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the transcendental literature meant for the postgraduate study of one who has realized all the Vedic literatures, such as the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, and their natural commentaries, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is presented for the study of sincere scholars. So not the scholars that just want to make some lofty statements about Eastern philosophy, but it means someone who's really trying to understand. That's a real scholar is someone who's trying to go deep into understanding what he's hearing and reading. Presented for the study of sincere scholars who are really seeking the absolute truth. Who are really seeking the absolute truth. You know, when Prabhupada met with the some of the theologians in California, in Los Angeles, he sat down and he said to them that that you're not really theologians. He said, theologians are people that know God. Do you know God? They had to admit they didn't. He said, so therefore, he said, I say that you are theosophists. You know about God, he said, but you don't know God. And then he asked Stilson Judah, what did he think? And he said, well, I think you're probably right. So this is for the study of sincere scholars who are really seeking the absolute truth. It is not the arrogant scholarship of a mental speculator, but a sincere effort to serve the order of a superior authority whose service is the life and soul of this humble effort. So he's, of course, referring not only to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and to the entire disciplic succession. It does not deviate even slightly from the revealed scriptures. And therefore, anyone who follows in the disciplic line will be able to realize the science of this book simply by the method of oral reception. Just one more little section. This is Kaviraj Goswami's words in reference to his writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, by their mercy, all these devotees ordered me to write of the last pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of their order only, although I am shameless, I have attempted to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So a lot of times people think that expressing humility is some sort of social convention. You see sometimes it happened even in our society. Quite frequently people will come up and claim to be the most fallen or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The most. And I remember once one of his disciples said that he was the most fallen. And Prabhupada responded, you're not the most anything. So in other words, being the most, whatever it is, means you're trying to get some kind of recognition. So, but his true expressions of humility, he actually felt that way. It's not a social convention. He felt that way, that he called himself lame and ill-advised. He talks about his physical infirmities. He calls himself here shameless because he's writing about Lord Chaitanya, that he has no shame. So these are real spiritual sentiments. This is not a social amenity. Anyway, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, to write about the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not an ordinary endeavor. Unless one is empowered by the higher authorities or advanced devotees, one cannot write transcendental literature. For all such literature must be above suspicion, or in other words, it must have none of the defects of conditioned souls, namely mistakes, illusions, cheating, and imperfect sense perception. The words of Krishna and of the disciplic succession that carries the orders of Krishna are actually authoritative. To be empowered to write transcendental literature is a privilege in which a writer can take great pride. As a humble Vaishnava, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, being thus empowered, felt very much ashamed that it was he who was to narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, now I'm going to take a real leap and express my own shamelessness. I've included a section from a book that I've recently, it's at the printer right now, and I'm not sure when it's coming out, but soon. It's a book about Prabhupada called Without Fear, Glimpses of Srila Prabhupada. This has been working on it for quite a few years now. now it's almost at, on the verge of publication. So I've this is a chapter, and it's relevant because it's about Kaviraj Goswami and his mood. And I heard this lecture in Dallas, Texas, in 1975, and Prabhupada was in a very meditative state, and he gave this lecture, and I've written this chapter called Glory to the All-Merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. Of course, as we were describing earlier, that is the worshipable deity of Kaviraj Goswami. And he wrote beautiful prayer, this beautiful prayer, Chayatang Sudato Pangor Mama Manda Mater Gati Matsarvasya Padambu Jo Shiradha Madana Mohano. So that's what this is all about. On March 4th, 1975, Srila Prabhupada delivered the following lecture in the temple of Radha Kalachanji on a beautiful prayer composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in which he states that the service of Radha Madan Mohan is his all in all. He has no other possession but their lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada remarks in this lecture, that is Vaishnav feeling. They think the lotus feet of Krishna as their only possession. But that is the greatest possession. Kaviraj Goswami considers himself lame, pango, and ill-advised, mandamate. He was physically debilitated due to old age, but he even humbly considers himself lame or very slow in the spiritual sense. He feels that he is ill-advised. Or, in the word for word, we see another synonym for mandamate, foolish. It can even mean foolish. Lame and ill-advised, foolish. There seems to be no limit of the self-criticism sometimes of Kaviraj Goswami. But he was a very humble person. And further on, Srila Prabhupada says, mandamate also means bad, slow in terms of spiritual realization. Now, this was from a lecture in Mayapur, also in 1975, and he stated, therefore, the author is instructing us, Jayatang Sudato Pangor Mama Manda Mater. Manda means one who cannot go very fast, or bad. Manda means bad. Manda means slow. In this age, especially in Kali Yuga, we become very, very slow in spiritual progress. I remember when I just was reading this again recently, and this characterizes at least my own situation in Krishna consciousness. Very, very slow in spiritual progress. He says, This is a nice sentence. I'll read it again. In this age, especially in Kali Yuga, we become very, very slow in spiritual progress, although that is our main business. This is our main business. Actually, in the nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam, in the 36th verse, it actually, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about this being our only business. Prabhupada says main, and in some places, it's our only business. And yet, very, very slow. But on account of this Kali Yuga, Prabhupada writes, we are all very, very slow. Anyway, I don't know if you can identify with that, but at least I do. Nevertheless, Kaviraj Goswami calls their lordships his directors, or in the synonyms gati, his refuge, his only shelter. He has nothing else. When Srila Prabhupada spoke of this Vaishnava feeling, I got a glimpse of what it must be to truly love unconditionally, although it was beyond me. Still, there was a glimmer of understanding by the mercy of a devotee who was a transparent medium to the ecstatic expressions of Kaviraj Goswami. The lecture begins, Jayatang Sudato. You could chant this with me if you like. Jayatang Sudato Pangor. Or we'll just do it a line at a time. Not everybody's memorized it, maybe. Jayatang Sudato Pangor. Mama Manda, excuse me, Mama Manda Matergati. Matsarvasva Padambojo. Radha Madanamohano. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors. And their lotus feet are everything to me. This is the surrendering process. This is Prabhupada's words now. This is the surrendering process of the author, Kaviraj Goswami. Before beginning to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, he submitted himself to the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Kaviraj Goswami also took shelter of Vrindavan under the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Therefore, he says, Matsarvasva Padambhojo. The lotus feet of Madan Mohan are my everything. That is Vaishnava feeling. They think the lotus feet of Krishna is their only possession. But that is the greatest possession. What this material possession will do. One who has taken possession, at least one who is allowed to take possession of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan, it is not a very easy thing. If Krishna gives him the facility, Krishna is prepared. How? Simply by service. One can easily become in possession of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sevan mukhi hi jiva dao. Svayam eva spuratya daha. We cannot bring in possession the lotus feet of the Supreme Being. That is not possible. But if we render service, he gives that allowance. Yes, you can be under the shelter of my feet. One, our only asset should be the lotus feet of Krishna along with Radharani, Madan Mohan. Krishna is so beautiful that he is more attractive than the Cupid, Madana Mohan. Madana means Cupid. Cupid is supposed to be the most beautiful person within the universe, but Krishna is still more beautiful. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, being attracted to Madan Mohan, he is offering his prayer, Jayatang Sudato Pangor. Pangor, Pango means lame man. One cannot walk. At least, one cannot walk very swiftly. So, Jayatang Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati, he is placing himself as Manda Mati. Mama Manda Matergati, Manda, this word means bad or slow. So every one of us in this material world, we are all bad. I think that's pretty funny. I'm sorry. But, you know, I mean, I remember when he said it at the time, I was thinking, yeah, that's right. We are all bad because why bad? And this is a technique of the acharyas. They'll make a statement, then they'll raise what? What do you mean by that? Then he'll answer his own question. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur often writes like this. The other acharyas, they'll pose a doubt or a disagreement and then answer it. And it's a way to make the reader more convinced that the doubts that you're feeling, I know what your doubt is, and here's the answer. Because they have deep perception. These acharyas have such a deep perception. Anyway, he says, why bad? Now, because we accepted this material body. Just like in the prison house, all the prisoners, they are bad. Why? Because they have accepted their home in the prison house. But it's stupid. In other words, they're stupid. Not just bad, they're just foolish. Therefore, the conclusion is they are all bad. Maybe degrees of difference. That's the only concession you get here. Maybe degrees of difference, but they are all bad. So, I'm not gonna skip certain portions, not because I don't like those portions, but we have limited time. So anyway, he develops this this theme about how Kaviraj Goswami is saying that to take shelter of Radha Madan Mohan, that is my everything. I have no other desire. Prabhupada says that was his only desire. And then he says, this is Krishna consciousness. Come to this point that our only desire is the pleasure of the Lord and his representatives. Then Prabhupada quotes this verse, Samashvita ye pada palava plavam, mahat padam punya yasho morare, vavam budir vatsa padang parang padam, padang padang yat vipadang natesham. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. Their goal is Parang Parang, Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. So that's our realm. So he talks about that, about how by taking shelter of Madan Mohan, this is the real solution to all of our problems. It says that you should take shelter of those feet. So he says, if you take a boat and you want to cross the Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean, it is very difficult. The boat may not go up to the end. But if you take shelter of the lotus petal boat-like of, what is that lotus flower? Samashrita ye pada palava palavang mahat padang punya yasho murare. Murari. Murari means Krishna. If you take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Murari, what is that feet? Mahat padam. Mahat padam means the whole universal creation. The cosmic manifestation is also resting there. It is not a small thing. So then he concludes, this is the concluding paragraph of his lecture. Then, what is the result? Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam. Bhavam buddhi means the great ocean of material existence. We are struggling here, trying to swim. That becomes vatsa padam, vatsa padam. Vatsa means calf. So you have no experience. In our country, the calf walks and the hoof makes some hole and there is some water also. So as it is not difficult to cross that water, similarly the whole material ocean becomes like that hole of a calf's hoof. In this way, you can cross over this material ocean and go back to home, back to Godhead. Why I shall go there? See, he uses always this stick. Why shall I go there? Because here, padang padang yad vipadam, here in every step there is danger. Why shall you live here? Take this boat and go. Cross the material ocean and go home, back to Godhead. This is the philosophy. Sometimes devotees say, that's not the philosophy, Prabhu, or this is the philosophy. But Prabhupada also used this expression. He says it, and then he says, this is the philosophy. Therefore, our Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Mat Sarvasva, everything. This is my everything. I take shelter of you. And he says, thank you very much. So, I've written some concluding portions. I still, there's got a few more quotes, but a lot of it's me. It is quite remarkable to see the transcript of the above lecture so many years later, which deeply affected me at the time of hearing it. Seeing it in print seems to render it somehow less powerful and evocative, although when I listen to the recording, the power and glory is present. Sometimes print seems to weaken the complete experience of Srila Prabhupada's potent delivery. So just as a note, footnote, if you're not in the practice of hearing Prabhupada's lectures, please adopt it, because if you want to really get the essence or the real potency of his delivery, you have to hear it. I mean, reading it is also perfectly legitimate, and everybody's encouraged to do that and should do it. But it's a wonderful experience, so if you're not experiencing it, give it a try. This may be my own lacking, but when Srila Prabhupada spoke on this occasion, his voice was full of spiritual emotion. The very presence of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami seemed to be invoked by his words, while at the same time, Srila Prabhupada was also present as the transparent via media in the unbroken chain of disciplic succession, in all of his humility, surrender, and with the seeming vulnerability of old age and deep feeling for Madan Mohan. There was no disconnect. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was present, was speaking through Srila Prabhupada. And yet, Srila Prabhupada was also fully present. It was mystical, it was emotional, and it was wonderful. Although I had no real understanding of what it was like to feel that Krishna was my all in all, as so feelingly stated by Kaviraj Goswami, nevertheless, I felt upon hearing this verse and Srila Prabhupada's vibrated words a hint of love of God, a hint of seeing Radha Madan Mohan as my all in all. Even years later, when I lived in Vrindavan, when I used to go in a Sankirtan party to take bath in the Jamuna River with the Gurukula students, we would pause by Madan Mohan temple and chant the above verse. And a remembrance of that original feeling from that day in Dallas would again be present, at least for me, and perhaps for others. In retrospect, an often quoted verse from Srimad Bhagavatam seems to have even more resonance regarding the quality of the vibration emanating from a pure Vaishnava. So this emphasis here is on actually hearing the sound vibration, hearing that sound that emanates from the heart. That's the source of the vibration of the heart. So when that vibration is sounded, the verse is, "My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee." So this is from the Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 20th chapter, 25th verse. This is Prabhupada's purport to that verse. And it's quite an intense piece of writing. And I'm near the end now, so if you're feeling like, when is this guy going to stop, it'll be soon. I'm assuming that you're ready for me to stop, but just in case. It is explained in the previous verse that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. This is further explained here. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the potency of that vibration. If you hear that vibration coming from Prabhupada, it says here that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At least that we're servants and that we should get on with our service. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Almost, he says. It's kind of generous. Exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. In the Vedas, it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from this slumber. You know, another thing about Prabhupada's writing, we must get up from this slumber. You're a scholar. What is that verse? Atishta, you know that? where it says, rise up, sleep. I can't remember it, though. Anybody? Anyway, and there's verses in the original Vedas that talk about rising up a sleeping being. Atishta, Atishta Govinda, that one? That's another one. Yeah. Can you speak louder? Hey, wait. Come and vibrate that into this. Well, come on. But say it, you know, nice and loud.
Said Uttishta Jagrata Prapyavara Nibodhaya Churasya Dhara Nishita Duratya.
Now translation.
That now that you got this opportunity of human form of life, you please rise up, get up, and Churasya Dhara Nishita Duratya. Otherwise you will miss the chance and you will lose the opportunity because it is like a sharp edge when you walk on that.
Thank you very much. Glad we have somebody that with some scholarship here. So we must get up from this slumber. See, even when Prabhupada makes an ordinary, just seems to be making an ordinary mark in the purports, his purports, the background is always Shastra. Always. If you can analyze Prabhupada's purports where he's basically going from one verse to the, paraphrasing one verse to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. He doesn't deviate from that principle. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As expressed in a song by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jaga, Jeev Jaga. The Lord asks every sleeping living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice, important sentence. They're all important, but since I'm giving class, I can say which ones are important. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee. The awakening voice. It's so nice. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. So you have a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, now this is some fabulous writing. I'm a writer, so you forgive me for going on a bit about this, but his writing is so fantastic. I mean, just listen to this. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky. The voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord. Although up until that moment, he had forgotten everything. So that's our, you could say, our existential position. We've forgotten everything. And then when you hear this voice, this awakening voice, then you start to remember. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. Every one of us is Kuyogi. Because we have engaged in the service of this material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as his eternal loving servants, it is our duty to rise from the Kuyoga platform to become Suyogis, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position of life. It does not matter what it is. I think these are significant words too. One may stay in his position of life. It does not matter what it is. But if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord. and thus engages in his loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. So I'm on the last page now. When Dhruva Maharaj, this is my contribution. When Dhruva Maharaj was granted the darshan of the Lord after practicing so many severe austerities, he was overcome with awe and emotion and couldn't speak. Then the Lord touched him on the head with his conch shell, and Dhruva was suddenly able to speak wonderfully, and that vibration was not different from the Vedas. So this is the quote from the fourth canto. When Dhruva Maharaj felt hesitant, not knowing how to describe the Lord for want of sufficient experience, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead, and he was transcendentally inspired. This transcendental inspiration is called Brahma Maya, because when one is thus inspired, the sound he produces exactly corresponds to the sound vibration of the Vedas. This is not the ordinary sound vibration of this material world. And now a concluding paragraph. O Srila Prabhupada, when will I ever realize the stupendous and extraordinary good fortune of your company? When will I understand the true value of hearing the vibration of your voice, which touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord, which can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and which exactly corresponds to the sound vibration of the Vedas? When you speak, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna and the entire disciplic succession speaks, and they remind us of those gracious lords whom we have forgotten. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, we have, I don't know, maybe a few minutes for questions.